Nice to see you. I'm super excited to be here. I'm super excited that you're here. I think it's going to be a great day. Little behind the curtain here. JR asked me about 6 or 7 weeks ago if I'd be interested in speaking this day. And for those of you guys that have done anything like this, you know some of the hardest part is coming up with the idea. As soon as he said, do you want to speak after Easter, I said yes, because I am very passionate about what we're going to speak about. So last Sunday was a big deal, right? Easter Sunday. I don't think we mentioned this in the service yet, but last week we had just about 500 people here. That is the most our church has ever been, to my knowledge. So you guys, thank you for being here. Thank you for inviting folks. It was a great day. I do know that Easter Sunday has a lot of tradition around it, and a lot of that revolves around food. So we're just going to take a super informal poll this morning. Last Sunday, Easter lunch, Easter dinner, what did you do? Did you do, raise your hand if you are Easter ham people.
Let's go,
okay. All right, that's good. Now raise your hand if you are Easter turkey people. Literally two hands. Okay, raise your hand if you are Easter something else people. Whoa, okay, give me. What did you do? Keep your hands up if you would. What was that?
Pork ribs.
Dr. Pepper pork ribs, if I remember right. What else?
Lamb.
Fondue?
Lamb?
Lamb?
Prime rib.
Prime rib. Of course, you gotta do prime rib. Anybody over here? What'd you guys do?
Steak.
Oh, I love steak. See, I don't think it matters. I mean, as long as you didn't do anything weird like pineapple on pizza, I think you're fine. That's weird, especially on Easter. God would not like that. Well, I don't know. He likes pizza. When I see him, I'll ask him. Yeah, so last Sunday we celebrated a big deal. It's a big deal in our faith. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And as I've been thinking about this, I've thought about like Easter as an analogy for big events. Because what I've been thinking, I've been very reflective these last couple of weeks because I've been thinking about another big event in our faith. Remember a few weeks ago when JR, he's the old guy that, he put a yellow piece of tape on the stage and he was talking about crossing over it. When you make a decision for Jesus, when you become a Christian. Well, in my life, I'm on April 18th this year, I'm going to be celebrating 25 years of, yeah, this crazy, yeah, thanks. I'm super excited about that. So what I did, what my wife and I did, we took a trip down memory lane, and I wanted to show you a couple pictures. So this picture, does anybody actually know where this is? Leslie's like, yeah, I do. So this is actually at Neighborhood Assembly. It's called Bridge Church now. This is one of their buildings on their campus. This is the actual building where I became a Christian, April 18th, 1999. Fun fact, if you go there today, they have security cameras all over their campus. So when you're standing there taking a picture of a building, like some rando, you're gonna show up on their security feed. So that's fun. So April 18th, 1999, that's where it happened. The next day, I went and told one of my best friends, this is a picture of, he used to live there, so now I don't know who lives there, but.
I do.
Do you? Do you live there? That's awesome. Sorry that we stood there and just taking a picture. Oh, that's funny. That's awesome. Well, a really cool guy named Mike used to live there. And that's actually where I stood and where I told him about, you know, my night before. This next one, you guys will probably recognize this. This is off downtown Helena, Kitty Corner from On Broadway. This is taken from a parking garage, you guys. I don't know why. This is just so weird. Me and a good friend of mine, Josh, who I used to live with in college, I think it was a week or two after April 18th, we decided that we wanted to go downtown and pray for people. Good idea, right? Good idea. So rather than like, this was Friday night, there were people around, rather than like going up to folks and be like, hi, my name is, what can I pray for you? And then pray, no, we didn't do that. This is so stupid. We stood on the parking garage and we took out Grace guns that looked like this. And then we were like, Grace on you. Grace on you. Grace on you. I don't know where we came up with that, but that is so dumb. I'm just hoping that God was like, okay, he's new. He's new around here, you guys. So hopefully somebody was touched by that. This last picture is one of my favorites because April 18th, 1999, shortly after that, I met somebody that would become very important in my life, and this is the very first picture of us together. So that beautiful woman is my wife, Leslie. If you zoom in on that picture, we can't zoom in right now, but if you zoom in, you're going to be able to tell that I didn't have a lot of friends back then, because if I did, they would have told me, don't wear that shirt. I don't know what was happening, but I was like, hey, it's a bowling shirt and it glitters. That's cool. She still said yes, so that was our very first picture together. So that was 25 years ago. So this morning, why am I sharing all this? Why am I talking about all this? This is something I've been wanting to share with you guys, is that those are the pictures that are my highlight reel, right? We've heard this expression before, like social media is our highlight reel. And so often we compare our normal lives with people's highlight reel because that's what they want you to see. Well, I have a bunch of pictures in my mind and some literal pictures that are not my highlight reel. So what I just showed you, that was the mountain, right? That was when things were going really well. But I've had moments in my life that I've been in a valley that I'm not showing you those pictures of today. And so as I think about life after Easter, I think about, like, I've been doing this for 25 years, but we just celebrated Easter last Sunday. What happens the week after Easter? What happens the month after, the year after? What happens 20 years after Easter? And hopefully you guys, if you've heard me speak, you know that things get pretty honest with me. So I just want to say, like, sometimes, you know, it's not highlight reel situations, right? Sometimes it's valley situations. And sometimes you just say, you know what? I've been doing this a while, Tyler, and I'm starting to doubt, or I'm starting to have questions, or I'm starting to deconstruct my faith. What do we do in that situation? So this morning, this is kind of what I want to do. I'm going to give you a little bit of warning. Normally in church, we say, put those phones away, all that. Take your phone out, if you would, for a second. Because this is what I want to do with us this morning. I just shared my experience, but what I would like you to do, if you were going to be so kind, is this is all anonymous. If you would take a picture of that QR code and just write in this moment of your life, rate where your faith is. So scale a 1 to 5. 1, you're not a person of faith, or you're doubting. All the way up to 5, your faith is strong. It's the strongest it's ever been. And these results are going to update in real time. Yeah, so if you're in the back and you're taking, just tap on the QR code on the screen, that'll help you. There's my IT background coming out. I should have taken a picture with all the phones out and be like, what does your church do? Candy Crush, my friend, Candy Crush. All right, so far you'll see in the upper right corner there is 62, 68, 73, okay. We're not in a hurry. I mean, a little bit of a hurry. We got to eat. We're going to break 100. Oh! That's an inside joke with Nick and I. Okay. So pretty interesting, right? Pretty interesting. All right. So keep typing that code in. We're gonna leave those results in. We're gonna leave those results on the screen because here's where we're gonna go with this. First of all, I just want to say a couple things. Two things. Number one, thank you, because just that exercise. If you're gonna get nothing else out of my message today, it's entirely possible. If you've gotten nothing else out of that message, you rated your faith this morning. For everything that you're going through, you took this super unscientific poll and you said, my faith is a blank. That, to me, is a super interesting, reflective question for us all to answer periodically, of saying, where is my faith? Where is my faith on a scale of 1 to 5? So, sincerely, thank you. Second thing I want to say is, we are a comparative people. And when I mean we, I don't mean Mount Helena, I mean people. are comparative. I think it's one of the hardest things to do is not compare. So here's what I want to say. No matter where you are on a scale of 1 to 5, you are not alone. You are not alone. I can speak for me, and I can speak for several others in this room. I have been every one of those numbers. I have been every one of those numbers at some point in my life. Here's the question I want to ask you this morning. Do you want to stay there? No matter what your number is, if it's a 1 or it's a 5, do you want to stay there? Because where we're going to go with this is if you say, all right, Tyler, I you know, 3 is pretty popular. I entered a 3, but I'm interested, what does a 4 look like? Or what does a 5 look like? What I'm going to do is we're going to talk about ways, and I'm going to mix metaphors here for a second, but we're going to talk about ways that we can move the needle on our faith. But before we do that, we have to go back to grade school, so you can take those grade schools down. Thank you. Appreciate you guys. Before we do that, we're going to go back to grade school. So I'm going to date myself a little bit. How many of you have ever participated in a fire drill? Okay. What were the 3 words that we learned in a fire drill? I heard something over here that was not stop, drop, and roll. I'm interested what that was. Yeah, stop, drop, and roll. The idea, you stop what you're doing, you drop to the ground, and you roll to take the oxygen out of the fire. So today, we're not going to stop, drop, and roll. You're welcome. But there are 3 words that I'm going to give you as a guide to our conversation today. And they are remember, rebuild, and recount. So first thing we're going to talk about remember. So if you are one that entered something on the lower side of the scale and you said, you know, I'm a 1, 2, whatever it was, I want to ask you to remember this morning, because I'm going to assume that you had a moment in your life in which your faith was a 4 or a 5. You had a moment in your life where your faith was higher. And what I want you to do this morning is I want you to remember, and here's how I would like you to do that. I'm going to ask you a series of very specific questions, and they are these. When you woke up in the morning back then, how did you feel? What did you think about first? What did you spend your money on? Who were your closest friends? What did you do in your free time? And this one I love. What topics did you bring up in conversation? I didn't make up those questions myself. They came from a behavioral scientist, because this guy tells us that the answer to those questions dictate the trajectory of your life. And so as you think about your faith back then, as you think about any time your faith was stronger, if you answer those questions, you could start to see the trajectory of your life. There's a guy that he's got one of the top selling books in Amazon right now. His name is James Clear, and he's all about habits, and he said this. He says, every action you take is a vote for the kind of person you want to become. That's interesting, isn't it? So when you look at the questions back there, every one of those answers is a vote for the kind of person you're going to want to become. So as you think about remembering, what was my life like back then? Because remembering is super powerful, isn't it? Remembering gives us motivation. But here's the thing about remembering that I'm struck with, because I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but as you read the Old Testament, you read about this group of people, the Israelites, God's chosen people, and they do really well, and then they don't do well. And then God intervenes, you know, he puts a judge in place, or he gives them direction, they do really well. And then they forget, and then they don't do really well. And been having breakfast with a group of guys for the last 15 years or so, and thank you, gentlemen, for helping me build this message, by the way. And we were talking about this, and one of the guys in the groups was like, well, we're no different, are we? Like, how easily we forget, how easily we do the same things, that we have a moment, we do well, and then all of a sudden we're back down. And I just thought, well, maybe that's why there's so many verses like this in the Old Testament where God is telling us, don't forget to remember. And he says, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart. In Psalms, he says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. All of these verses in the Old Testament. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgment that he uttered. And this sounds familiar from last week when we did communion. And he took the bread, Jesus, gave thanks and broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget to remember. It's like, it's a really stupid analogy, but when I forget to remember to take out the trash, I start to live with those consequences. My house starts to not smell great. And I'm wondering, why doesn't the house smell great? It's like, well, because you forgot to remember to take out the trash. Let me ask you something else. As we remember, as you think about your faith back then and when it was strong, was there anything that put distance between you and God? When your faith was strong, would you say, was there anything that was putting distance between you and God? And what I mean by that was, well, actually, let's just talk about it today. You know, is there something, if you answered lower on the scale, is there something that's putting distance between you and God? And here's something very practical. Is there something that you're looking at? Is there something that you're listening to? Is there something that you're participating in that is putting distance between you and God? Part of my background is in computer science. Don't worry, we're not going to start talking techie. But there's a principle that we use in software development, and I'm sure you've heard this. It's called garbage in, garbage out. So the idea with this is that when you're writing software applications, if you have junk code, you're going to have a junk application. So the application is only as good as the code that's going in it. You see where I'm going with this? So if there are things that you're letting in through your eyes or your ears or your hands you're participating in, if there's garbage in, I can guarantee you there's garbage out. And what that garbage out looks like is distance between you and God. So my question for you this morning is there something that you're looking at, listening to, participating in that's creating distance between you and God? If your answer is yes, this is probably where you're going to start feeling guilty. And let me just give you a little bit of assurance that God was smart enough that he knows this is going to come up. So in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians says this, no temptation has overtaken you except what's common to man. God is faithful. He's not going to let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So here's my counsel. If there is something coming in the gate, shut the gate. Shut the gate because it's worth it. There's one translation of this verse that says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. So if you're this morning saying, I entered a 2 on that scale and my faith is seized up, seize it back. Seize it back. Shut the gate. Because what we're talking about here is literally how your faith is going to go. He will provide a way out so that you can endure it. I will remember the works of the Lord. All right, so we're talking about remembering. So hopefully by now you've thought about these questions and you say, yes, there was a time where my faith was strong. And maybe for some of you, sincerely, maybe for some of you, that's enough. Maybe for some of you, you're saying, you know what, that's great. I've got enough to go on. Thank you, and see you at Wendy's. Right on. For some of us, that's not enough. And so we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about rebuild. If you're inspired and you say, yes, I want the needle to move on my faith. I don't know how to do that. We're going to talk about how to do that. And let me just apologize for this section right now. Sometimes up here, we really like to dive into original language, and we like to talk about the Greek and the Hebrew, and like to talk about all the exposition. This ain't it. This is going to be really, really simple, because as I've looked at my life, as those moments when I've been inspired, when I remember what my faith was like and I want to rebuild, I start putting bricks in place, not literal, metaphorical bricks that might look something like this. And we're going to talk about the first brick. So again, you guys, this is really simple, I know. But I want to talk about all these bricks because these are solid foundation, fundamental bricks. So the first one is church. And I know church is the group of people. I want to talk about the gathering. So the ecclesia, using an original word. I want to talk about the gathering, which is the church. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. You guys, that was written thousands of years ago, but it could have been written last week by some of us. Because isn't it interesting, when your faith starts to take a dip towards the left, why is it we stop coming to church? Isn't that interesting? We stop coming to the gathering of people. So I'm so excited when we say there was close to 500 people, it's like, we're not about numbers, but we're not about numbers. Because each one of those numbers is a story and is a person. That's why we're really excited about, yeah, thank you, Lord, 500 people. So the church is a fundamental part of our faith. And these bricks are in no particular order, but church is a really big deal. 1 Corinthians again, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is part of it. The Sunday morning gathering of the church. So here's another brick. Small groups. JR did a fantastic job, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on small groups, but I will say this. Like, if as important as our Sunday morning gathering is, it's just not enough, right? It's just not enough. Like, one of my fundamental core values is to be known by a group of people. And it's so hard to do that on a Sunday morning because there's a lot going on, there's hundreds of people, there's lots of conversation. Small groups, you guys, if this is you, if you're saying, man, this seems like a group of people that are pretty cool, a couple weird ones, I'd like to get to know them better, I can't recommend a better way to do it than small groups. So what I would encourage you with, hang out with us a little bit after the service. There's going to be tons of people. Our small group leaders are going to be out there, like JR said. But small groups is a fantastic way to do that. Another brick, the Bible. Duh, right? But so often it's like, well, I've read it before. Why am I going to read the same book again? Because it's alive and active. That's why. Sharper than any double-edged sword. So here's some of my ideas that you can, of course, engage with your paper Bible. But what I did is I put a couple resources up on the screen. These are ones that I use. These are all kind of like more on the techie side. There's a great app called YouVersion. It's put out by Life Church in Oklahoma. You guys, they have put so much into this. There's devotionals. There's different messages. There's audiobooks. You can sync up with your friends. It's fantastic. Couple podcasts. The Bible Recap, which is also a book. But she does, I've gone through this 4 or 5 years in a row now. Fantastic podcast. The idea is you read through a passage, and then she does basically commentary and study on it. And it's not from a denominational standpoint. It's super fantastic. Highly recommend that. Bible in a Year. I just started that this year. It's not verse by verse, but it's a dramatized retelling of the major themes and stories of the Bible. I really like it because it's dramatized. It mixes it up. And there's prayer in there, so that's awesome. A couple more websites. You guys, 25 years ago, I was thinking about spending like a couple $100 on like this Logos Bible software that was like $20,000 to me back then. These two websites, they have it all. Like, when I'm going to do Bible study, those are the two websites I use, Bible Hub and Bible Gateway. So the whole idea with this slide is resources for your Bible, because the idea with these bricks is taking that wherever you rated yourself, and is this brick going to help me move my faith up? That's what all of these are. A couple more. Prayer. You guys, yes, I'm aware. These are very simple, but these are the fundamental building blocks. Rejoice always, pray continually. You ever notice in relationships on planet Earth with real people, when our relationship is strained, what's one of the first things that happen? I would say we stop talking to one another, right? We break down the communication. You guys, prayer is no different. If you rated yourself on the lower end of that scale, 1 to 2, I would ask you, like, and this is a non-judgmental question, this is a sincere question, when was the last time you prayed? Because what I get a lot is like, well, I don't know how to pray the churchy prayer. I don't know how to pray the prayer that is just, you know, all right. And I'm like, you guys, there's nothing that makes a prayer wrong or right. It's a conversation between you and God. It's like, well, I've got some pretty honest things. I don't want to talk to God. Remember last week when we celebrated the resurrection? There's this prayer that Jesus prayed when he was being crucified. This is Jesus. He knows the plan. And Jesus still said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's not a pretty prayer, is it? It's honest. And so a question I would ask today is there something that you can pray about? And it might sound something like, hey, God, I know I haven't prayed in a while, but I just want to pray about this. That's a prayer. That's a prayer that moves, that starts to move the needle. It doesn't have to go on for 30 minutes. That's a prayer. Right along with that is gratitude. Same part of that verse, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You ever wonder, like, what's God's will for my life? Be thankful. That's interesting, isn't it? A friend of mine recently said, isn't it so hard to be cynical and thankful at the same time? Whew. Isn't it so hard to be covetous and thankful at the same time? Isn't it so hard to be angry and thankful at the same time? The thing I love about gratitude is it changes our perspective. It gets the focus off of us and onto whatever the thing is. And maybe your gratitude because there's, you know, a lot of situations represented in this room. Maybe your gratitude sounds something like this, like, God, I've been praying for healing in this area for a long time and I don't have it. But I want to thank you for this. I want to thank you for this situation. Or maybe it's like, God, I applied for this promotion. I didn't get it. He got it. I want to say thank you that I have a roof over my head. You see what that is? It's the same situation. You're not changing the situation at all. You're changing you. Gratitude does that. What can you be thankful for today is a question I would ask. Is there something just off the top of your head? You could say, thank you, Lord, for this. Changes your perspective. It moves the needle. Couple more. Worship. Oh, my goodness. I love this. Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud. You ever wonder why worship is just centered around music? Classically, like, I mean, psalms are, like, literally written. This is so interesting. Like, another part of my background is musical theater. Explains a lot, I know. One of my very first musical, sophomore in high school, Fiddler on the Roof, my drama teacher came up to me and he said, Tyler, do you know why we sing? And I was like, I'm a sophomore in high school. I don't know anything. Like, no. And he looked me right in the eye and he said, because we must. And I said, what does that mean? It's like some new age voodoo stuff there. And he said, because sometimes words aren't enough. Because sometimes our words are not able to express what we're feeling. That's why music is such a powerful force. And so when I sing this, come let us sing. Come let us play the instrument. Come let us, whatever it is you do to express yourself musically, worship is a part of it. So I'm all about the QR codes today for some reason. So I included a QR code. That is a link to our worship team's Spotify playlist. So if you say, gosh, this is great. I want to engage with God in worship on my own, scan that QR code and you will get a list of very familiar songs that our worship team has put together. So I appreciate you guys doing that. Worship. All right, one more. Actually, let me get back to that because I see some phones out. And I think on Spotify you can also search MHCC Master Playlist, I think is, yeah. Ask if you want that playlist and you're not able to get on the code, my man Nick here will get it for you. All right, people. This is important. So we've talked about church, and we've talked about small groups. And like, didn't we already talk about people? Yes, but not in this way. There was a study that was done just last year, and it's called Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolations. It was by the U.S. Surgeon General's Office, and it said this. Thousands of people surveyed, and it says, the mortality impact of being socially disconnected is similar to that caused by smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. You guys, this is not a faith-based science. This is science, or a faith-based study. This is scientific. And what they found out is from a physiological standpoint, being socially isolated is similar to the biological effect of 15 cigarettes a day. Why is that? Could it be that God is right? In Genesis, when Adam was created, he looked at Adam and he looked at man and he was like, it is not good for you to be alone. That's still true today. It is not good for us to be alone. We are better together. And so when I look at this, science backs up what God said thousands of years ago. They said, listen, if you're socially isolated, your body is going to start to not do well. So what do we do with that? There might be some people here today that says, you know, I'm interested, but my phone's not ringing. Nobody's sliding into my DMs, as it were. Nobody's giving me text messages. And I just want to say to you, that is a real thing. My wife and I were chatting, I think it was about 4 or 6 weeks ago, and I can't remember what brought this up. Right now she's like, where are you going with this? We had this conversation, and we just said, why is it that, again, it's just her and I talking, and we said, why is it that we're the ones to always call, or we're always ones to send a text message or say, hey, come over for dinner. And we just kind of got to this place in the conversation where we're like, you know what? That's okay.
Yes.
That's okay.
Yes.
So here's my recommendation. Go first. Go first. There are some people in my life that are, I mean, Leslie and I try to do this really well. There's some people in my life that are really, really good at going first. One of them is here today. And they are just fantastic at texting me saying, hey, we haven't gotten together in a couple weeks. You want to hang out? And I love it. I love it. And so if you're here today saying, you know what? I'm socially isolated. Yeah, I feel like I'm smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Pick up the phone. Send a text message. God forbid, actually call somebody. Move the needle of your faith. Go first. Go first. All right. These are a lot of bricks. And I know if you're anything like me, I look at something like this and I get totally overwhelmed because I'm like, all right, I just said my faith was a one or two. Now you're giving me this to-do list. I'm not. These are options. So a question I would ask you today is, what is one thing, literally, one thing you can do today to start to rebuild your faith? I gave you some options there on the screen, some ideas. What is one brick you can put in place today? Is that all it takes? Nope, it's not going to change overnight. But then tomorrow, you're going to have this question burning in your head. What is one thing you can do today to start to rebuild your faith? You start to rebuild your faith every day like that pretty soon, you're going to have a faith in which you've moved the needle. Then you don't have to remember what your faith was like back then. Your faith is going to be like that. Which brings us to our last word, recount. What do you do when you go to a great restaurant, great vacation, great movie? You tell somebody, right? You tell somebody. You recount your story to somebody else. And I love that because you're using your words to tell about an experience. And an expression that I've been using a lot at work lately is, our words create worlds. Your words create worlds. The question I would ask you is, what kind of a world are your words creating for those around you? So in the context of this message, well, I answered a one on that stupid survey, and I guess that's where I am. Change your words. Well, I answered a one on that stupid survey, but I'm inspired to put some bricks down because I want my faith to be stronger. I want to rebuild my faith. I don't want the same story yesterday. I want a new story tomorrow. So these are all things God said in creating the world. Literally, God said these. So this is what we're going to do this morning. I'm a guy that I learn by doing. So I want us to recount some things to ourselves and to one another. The worship team is going to lead us in a new song. It's called I Believe by Phil Wickham. It's one of my favorite songs these days because they are so declarative. These songs are so declarative. And let me just put this disclaimer. It might be a long time since you've said these words. These are powerful words. Give it a shot. It might be that you've never said these words. You've never said, I believe in the name of Jesus. Consider it. But this is our chance to recount to ourselves and to one another this morning. Let me pray for us as we go. Father, God, we are so thankful, Lord, for our faith, God. We are so thankful, Lord, that this was your idea, God. And God, I just pray, if I could pray anything over this group of people, Father, I pray that, God, that you would help us grow closer to you, Lord, with whatever means. If some of those bricks are part of it, great. If not, great. God, I just pray that we would be a people that lean in and grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to say in closing, if that was the first time that you have said those words, and if that was the first time you've said those words and believed it, we want to talk to you because we want to get you a Bible. There's some resources we want to give to you. Otherwise, you guys, there's a prayer team up on my left that would love to pray with you guys. Have a great day. Stick around. Talk about some small groups.